morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Wednesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Very, very pleased to have you with us here today. I'm very excited about the show. Our guest will be joining us here in just a minute, and then I will tell you all about him. Before we do that, let's look at this story here, worldnetdaily.com. August 11, 2005. Here's what it says. In the 2004 presidential debate, President Bush and Senator John Kerry both agreed on one thing, that the possibility of nuclear terrorism was, quote, the single most serious threat to the U.S. national security, end quote. Former CIA Director George Tenet said, quote, Al-Qaeda continues to pursue its strategic goal of obtaining nuclear weapons. His successor at the CIA, Porter Goss, said, quote, it may only be a matter of time before Al-Qaeda or another group attempts to use chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear devices, end quote. FBI Director Bob Mueller said, quote, intelligence continues to show Al-Qaeda's clear intention to obtain and ultimately use some form of chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear material in its attacks against the U.S., end quote. CIA Counterterrorism Center experts said the following, quote, Al-Qaeda probably has access to nuclear expertise and facilities. There's a very real possibility of the group developing a crude nuclear device, end quote. The Rob Silberman Commission, put together by President Bush, said in its report, quote, the U.S. intelligence community has assessed that Al-Qaeda was capable of fabricating at least a crude nuclear device if it could obtain the requisite nuclear material, end quote. VP Dick Cheney has warned, quote, the biggest threat we face now as a nation is the possibility of terrorists ending up in the middle of one of our cities with deadlier weapons than we've ever before been used against us, biological agents or nuclear weapon or chemical weapon of some kind to be able to threaten the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans, end quote. Warren Buffett said, quote, we're going to have something happen in the way of a nuclear event, a major nuclear event in this country. It will happen. It will happen, whether it will happen in 10 years, 10 minutes, or 50 years, it's a virtually a certainty. So a lot of fear-mongering, folks. A lot of things that we're supposed to be afraid of in this day and age. My guest today demolishes those fears because my guest today talks about important things. He talks about the issues of faith. In my opinion, my guest is the most dangerous man on the planet because what he does is something far different than any other guest we've had on the show. A lot of people will shake the foundations of your faith. Martin Zender annihilates the foundations of your faith. And what he allows it to do is to heal back like a broken bone. When you break it, it heals back and it's actually stronger. That place on the bone where it was broken before, where it's now healed, is actually stronger than the rest of the bone. So by annihilating those foundations, by crippling them, by toppling them, by bringing them down, you're able to rebuild your faith coming from a better place. This is without the involvement of the world which you're born into, which is just filled with deception and lies. And the reason for that is exemplified in the titles of his books. First book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Seven Good Reasons to Escape the Box. Martin Zender burst out on the scene with this one. And again, what is this doing? It's saying, hey, people, think independent of the systems. Now, the churches, as we know, have been infiltrated. Perfect example leading up to the 2004 election. It's continuing on today in regards to Supreme Court nominees and various judicial appointees. The church is being used as a platform for politicians to get their point across, where it's a them or us situation. Oh, well, they don't like us because they're not faith-based people. They hate God. They love the devil. And they're Democrats. These are the kind of things that we hear about. So what Martin Zender does is provide scriptural foundation for what you already know to be true. And through that, and through these writings, this guy has changed my life. Other books include Martin Zender Goes to Hell, where he talks about, is hell real? Does it exist? And what is it all about? Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer, about, you know, what kind of prayer is more viable to God? Which one will he listen to more carefully? And this most recent one, Flawed by Design, about what your role is in God's plan. And we're going to talk about all these things today, folks. But again, this guy is just an amazing individual. I can't wait to have him on the show today. It's going to be amazing. Get involved with us here. 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
All the miles that you've been through. in red, wearing too much makeup, burden that you carry more than one soul could ever bear.
Good morning. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Be a part of the program today. Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443. And, of course, you can check our website for information on our guests, past and present, including our guest today, his website, www.martinzender.com, in which there are links to previous interviews that Martin and I have done. As I said, folks, I could probably count on one hand the people who have sort of, I think, led me to my conclusions, forced me to think and really analyze sort of where I am, where I'm going, and what it's all about. And I would put highest on that list our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program Martin Zender. Martin, welcome aboard.
Good morning, Frank.
There's your theme song there, buddy.
There it is. I haven't heard that in a while.
We got our producer there hanging on to that. So, all right, go ahead and cut that. That's enough of that. Anyway, Martin, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, Frank. It's always a privilege to be on your show.
You're too kind. You're too kind. You do such great things. And as I told you, I think your message is probably the most dangerous information out there. Because in the realm of what I do, which is trying to analyze different things, I found that faith is the most dangerous thing. True faith. Faith that doesn't come from a leader at a church or a leader in politics or a leader at an organization who can direct you towards where they want you to be, how they want you to feel. You know, the media is obsessed right now with fear-mongering in regards to 100,000 different things.
Right.
Whereas I think if people really had true faith, they wouldn't worry so much.
Faith is power, and this is unknown in the world because when the world looks for power, it looks for the outward things. It looks for guns and weapons and things that the eye can see. But I'm telling you, faith transcends all that. Mm-hmm. It's the eye of the hurricane. Everything can be swirling around you, and Jesus was the perfect example of the eye of the hurricane. And he managed to stay calm. Pilate said, "Don't you realize I have the power of life and death over you?"
Mm-hmm.
And here's a man who could say, "You would have no power over me unless it were given you from above." Now, not many people could see that little bubble of peace that Jesus had. It was invisible, but yet it was real. It was inside him. And that same peace can be ours. But again, it's the looking to the invisible,
mm-hmm.
not the visible. Because, man, that list you were given about all the quotes about the nuclear
mm-hmm.
possibilities, you really have to focus on the things that aren't seen in order to overcome that. Because, man, I tell you, that'll keep you up at night if you focused on it.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know what's so interesting about it? You may have heard this. You remember the terror alert where they recommended people go and buy the plastic wrap and the duct tape?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there was a guy who actually did that and ended up basically, you know, wrapping his entire house to the point where he actually suffocated and died.
No kidding.
Yeah, the guy died because he was so terrified by these news accounts. Well, you know, this is the kind of paranoia we have out there. People have for so long trusted these individuals and these organizations, the media and whatnot, to bring them the truth. And I think if you really step back and look at it, you can see that it's all deceptive. It's all to facilitate their agenda, whatever that may be. And the same thing with the churches as well. I mean, you know as well as I do that subscribing to a doctrine is a doctrine as interpreted by a person. And that means that basically you are sacrificing your own thoughts, opinions, feelings, and whatnot to fit into the parameters of this society. And a lot of people love that conformity because they don't have the self-awareness of where they truly are. They've never actually sat down and put a lot of thought into it to figure out where they should be to be able to say that they don't fit in there. I mean, a lot of us were let out of the churches. You and I both came out of Catholicism, mm-hmm. and we did it because we were let out. We didn't, we weren't, any fun toy for any priest or anything. We weren't molested. At least I don't think you were. I wasn't in your book. But, See, I was an altar boy. And
I was not an altar boy.
See, I was, and I still didn't get touched. I had some self-esteem issues for a while, you know, because I didn't get molested. I thought maybe I'm not pretty enough. But
you were a better man than I was. They wouldn't even consider me for an altar boy.
Yeah, I was a screw-up. I was never any good at it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You always want to do something, for God. And you know, we were you know, you and I both in Catholicism, we both got out of it, and we realized it's not just that Catholicism is evil and everything else is so much better. It's that what they are, they're man-led institutions, man-made institutions, trying to interpret God for you. When why not just cut out the middleman?
Yeah, and every man-led institution brings on the fear, because there's always the risk that they tell you that you're going to offend God.
Mm-hmm.
And every religion has its own list of things that you could do to offend God and to lose his favor. And really, I see the world really operating on the same principle as the church. The church always tries to distance itself from the world. Well, we're up here, we're spiritual, mm-hmm. and they're not. And yet you see the same things working. The world is trying to get us scared to death of what's happening. And the church that's supposed to give us respite from this is really doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
When you were talking about that guy wrapping his house in plastic, I was thinking back to Y2K. And a lot of everybody was going nuts during that. And it was the churches, too. The churches played a big part in that. They were gearing up just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I was writing a newsletter at that time, Frank. And in my newsletter at that time, I had a list. I said, here's four things I want you to do to prepare for Y2K. One, don't worry about anything. Two, don't worry about anything. Three, don't worry about anything, and so forth. And I quoted a scripture on that. This is the greatest scripture ever. Is this really in the Bible? Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. I'm quoting the Apostle Paul.
That's actually like quote.
That is actually
quote.
In the Bible. Do not worry about anything. I mean, that is fantastic. That's in the most literal translation also. I think the King James says, Be thou
not worried.
Be thou not distressed or whatever. Let's get right down to it. Even the literal Greek says, do not worry about anything. And so that is a scriptural concept. Don't worry about it. Oh, man, you're not very spiritual. No, I'm quoting scripture. Don't worry about it.
Man, that's incredible. Because,
you know,
you see these churches, and they're always mobilizing people to do different things. Let's go support so-and-so, you know, this politician. Let's go and march for this cause. Let's go and protest this incident. Let's all go and do this. Let's all go do that. I mean, right now you've got this big protest about the Da Vinci Code movie. Okay,
yeah.
So it seems to me kind of a fruitless. It's busy work. It's church busy work, because they don't want you actually getting into the spiritual side of things.
They don't want you to be religious.
They don't want
you to think.
Right.
There's so many contradictory doctrines in the Christian religion that if you get 5 minutes to yourself to actually think about, wait a minute, they're telling me this, but they're saying this to the other side of their mouth, you'll start asking questions. That's the last thing they want, so they'll stuff you with another donut.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, Martin, that I think is really exciting is I've gotten a lot of wonderful emails, faxes, letters, and phone calls, and their people have told me, they said, you know, Frank, I just didn't understand what was going on in the world. You know, I saw all these things for myself, but, you know, to step back from the official version of things and just logically say, hold on a second, never mind all the minutia of why things should be this way. Oh, well, we've got this to contend with and this, like oil prices, very simple. First of all, they said, oh, we're concerned that there isn't going to be enough oil when it comes time for heating purposes, you know, when it gets cold. So that's why prices are up. Then they said, oh, it's because of refinery disruptions because of the hurricanes. Then the hurricanes slow down. Well, it's because of terrorism. Well, now it's because of Iran. Well, now it's because of this. Now it's because of that. It's always all these different things. And they're making up reasons. And we step back and say, wait a minute. The prices are going up and down day to day, and nothing's really changing to affect those directly. So why is all this happening? And you know, people were listening to the show, and they said, I started to get it. And a lot of people, they don't like talking about God. They don't like hearing about God. But I think if you're able to do what you have done for me, which is sort of contextualize it on a personal level, you tell your story in your book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And I tell you what, and I told you this before, I totally got all choked up. I teared up because I said, this is exactly what I went through. And then I cheered up because you're very witty and you're just an amazing writer, because you make it all fun and enjoyable. And this is really what I've tried to do, is just say, you know what, we've all been let down by this. And then what you have to do is step back from it, look at it, and what does it say? Do things seem to not make sense? There's a reason for that, because you're being lied to. And then when you can start facilitating it and realize that, number one, I'm not trying to be the preacher and to be at the front of the church who's perfect, who has the great clothes, who's ultimately confident about every word that comes out of his mouth, who is ultimately, you know, indisputable on every interpretation of the will and the word of God. And this guy's got it all going on. And he said, if you could be like me, you'd never worry about anything. You'd always have faith. You'd have great clothes, lots of money, a great car. You'd have a wife, a mistress, a girlfriend, and you could molest some people on the side. And everything's hunky-dory and everything's great if only you had faith like me. But obviously, your situation's not perfect. Your life is miserable, so that's your problem, is that you aren't like me. You and I and other great people out there are not trying to do anything. We're just saying, hey, look. We're miserable excuses for human beings. We're works in progress. Nobody's perfect. And I've got a lot of flaws, and I'm happy to talk about them on a regular basis. But the point is, Martin, is that people are struggling and striving to learn the answer to these questions, why things are the way they are. And ultimately, the more you learn about why they are the way they are, the more you can step back and not worry. And again, it all comes down to faith, real faith.
Yeah, right. And I should say this early on, that when we talk about faith, faith is a gift of God. Any faith that we have has been given to us. We can't claim credit for that. I think one of the big things that helped me is understanding that I was saved by Jesus Christ's faith. It was his faith of going to the cross and overcoming evil that saved me. Any faith I have has been passed on from him to me, but he's the one I'm relying on.
Let me jump in here quickly for a short break. Folks, stay with us. More with Martin Zender when we return with more Frankly Speaking Radio right after this. Big show, my friends. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here this fine Wednesday morning. Website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Phone number, 1-800-313-9443. That's toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Our guest today, the great Martin Zender. Martin, welcome back.
Thank you.
Very pleased to have you here, my friend. Sorry for the interruption there, but go ahead. We were just talking about, you know, all these different elements of how faith is manipulated and where the, you know, where the real comfort lies.
Well, the real comfort lies in realizing that there's someone smarter than us running the universe.
Amen to that.
Well, that's that, believe it or not, that's not taught in church. You don't get that information in church. You get that there's this mortal battle going on between God and Satan, and if you look out your window, Satan's winning.
That's true.
What kind of peace is that? It's like that. They used to tell me all these terrible things, all these ways I could go to hell, and then they'd say, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." Yeah, right.
Yeah,
come
I feel
on.
Very much at peace. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna go buy
a
fireproof suit now because I'm on my way.
Yeah,
right on, man.
Some people are telling me the kingdom of God has arrived. I'm looking out my window. Why? Well, I must have missed it. Where is it? I better get some Windex here. The kingdom of God is not outside my window today. But what? There's someone running things the way they're supposed to be run. That's the missing.
That's a huge point. And I mean, you're right on about it because, yeah, the churches, and I was just talking to our producer Clint there in the studio about, you know, the organizations. And that's really what we're talking about here. There are great, you know, institutions and Bible studies out there and all that. And if you just go for the fellowship, that's fine and dandy. But, you know, what I'm talking about is what you're talking about, which is they suck you in with the love bomb, as you describe. And then it becomes very cultish and very elite. And that's the thing about the churches, these institutions, they bring you in and they say, we have it right. You know, we need to get out there and preach to everybody. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to go door to door. We need to knock on people's doors. We need to hand out these pamphlets and these books and these brochures. And we need to go and protest because if we don't do it, the world's going to end. And when it all comes down, God's going to say, I needed you to save the world, and you didn't do it.
Get out of here. And their message is
burn in hell.
Their message is doom and gloom, but it's packaged up in a
nice bow.
Like, look at this nice bow. That's what gets you in. We're going to solve all your problems. You're lonely. You're afraid. Come here. We're your home. Then you get in there, and you have worse fears than you ever imagined.
Not only
are your neighbors against you, but God himself is against you. He can't control things. He's running around the universe trying to put out fires like Satan did. What? Oh, my God, I got to run over there. He's putting out fires all over the universe. Where is he? Some star 595 over here while Satan's doing this over here. He's got to run. And you get this idea that, again, we're locked into this suspenseful battle, and we don't know the outcome. And like you said, we have to help God fight this battle. And unless you do your part, the whole thing is lost. And you don't want to stand before God not having told somebody about this great news. What news? That you better love me soon or you're going to die and go to hell forever. That's the good news. Love me or else. And then they call it salvation by grace, Frank.
Yeah.
They call it salvation by grace. Love me or else. God's looking at his watch. You know, you got 10 more seconds.
You
got 10 more seconds. What kind of God is this?
The window of opportunity is closing.
The window of opportunity is closing fast.
Yeah.
His hands are tied. His hands are tied. You can't do anything about it.
Well, you've got Catholicism for an example right here, which primarily reinforces faith through guilt. That's what it's all about. It's your fault. Everything is your fault. Shame on you. I hope you didn't touch yourself today, Martin Zender. But, then you've got things like we've talked about Islam and all these other ones, the Crusades, all these different things. You need to go and kill for Jesus. You need to go and kill for God. It's essential. And we'll give you 72 virgins if you go and blow up some people. But make sure that you have to take some of these heathens with you. All these different things being facilitated through fear of God, or only will you be rewarded if you perpetrate this, and we're telling you to do it. So
there's more than one way to kill. You look at the Eastern religions, you look at the radical branch of Islam, and they're telling people to literally kill. You come to the Christian world, and things are cleaned up a little bit, but it's the same kind of killing. It's the same guilt. Fear and worry have killed more people than war, and that's a fact.
I believe that.
It's a fact.
I believe that.
Worry kills people. Your mind, when your mind is thinking on guilt and fear, I mean, it actually affects your body. You know, they tell you now you can control your body temperature by concentrating on it. You can raise the temperature of your fingertip. When you have a dream, it's just like it's real, isn't it? You wake up, you're sweating. Your heart is beating.
That's true.
Your body responds to your mind as if it is real. And so the Christian will condemn the Islam religion. Well, they're killing people out there. I'm sorry, but you people are killing just as many. It's just cleaner and it's quieter, but it's just as lethal. It might take longer to happen, but it's more insidious. It's such an evil, and obviously I get worked up about it.
Yeah, hey.
Because it's not meant to be this way.
I know.
There's an alternative.
Well, we need to talk about that, my friend.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to get you to hang on here. Another quick break, folks. Amazing. Already 30 minutes into this. But Martin Zender is with us. He'll be with us for another hour and a half. So stay with us. We'll be back with more from Martin Zender and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Also, some books to give away, too. So stay tuned for that.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good morning. Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and glad to have you here with us on this fine Wednesday morning, August 17, 2005. And again, so much stuff going on in the world. And again, sometimes you have to just drop the minutia, get it back down to basics. And I think nobody really hits on the important parts as well as our guest today. Please welcome back to the show, Martin Zender. Martin, welcome back, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Hey, glad to have you. You know, it's so funny because we were talking about the way that, you know, we're led to believe that every single decision that we make affects the entire grand scheme of the universe. And that ties into predestination and free will and all that jazz. But I've always said, you know, if I'm The main point is when I leave for work every day, I go, you know, a certain way. If I choose to go a different way, I don't think God runs down to the basement, pulls out the blueprints and grabs an eraser and says, damn that guy, you know, I got to redo everything again. Yeah. There's too many options. And, you know, all these different things, we need to do this, we need to do that on the grand scheme of things. You know, God's gift to the world is freedom, and we need to spread it to these countries, whether they want it or not. We need to get out there and we need to defend Israel because they're God's chosen people. Hey, if they're God's chosen people, then they got a much better ally than the United States on their side. You know, we don't need to get involved in all this crap.
Yeah, God will use people to enact his intentions for the earth. However, and he uses us too. He uses good and evil people. In fact, Romans says he hardens certain people for tasks that he has them to do. So any bad things that are happening in this world, there's another scripture passage we get into. That's a controversial topic, is under the head of God. God is directing all these things. But it's when we start to be over-concerned, overburdened with worry about, quote, our part of the deal.
Yeah.
You're right, Frank. God is not going through his papers because you made a decision that went against his plan. The relaxing thing about this is you cannot do anything apart from his plan. But even when you make a, quote, misstep, it was ordained as a misstep, and something good is going to come out of it. You're going to learn something about it. And so only when you come into this knowledge will you be able to be at rest about things that you do. God lets us live our lives. It doesn't mean we're free.
Mm-hmm.
He has his hand on us all the time, but often his hand is invisible and we don't see it. And so we live our lives as if everything depends on what we do. I mean, when you're coming up to a stop sign, you don't think, well, I hope God makes me put my foot on the brake. I hope God makes me put my foot on the brake.
I think I've had those people behind me.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
So we live as if we're the captains of our own destiny. This is a gift God has given us. It's fun to live this way. However, many people forget that just because God's arm is invisible, they think he's on vacation.
Right.
It is still God causing us to do what we do. People say, oh, my God, he's saying we're puppets. Martin Zender says we're puppets. No, you're worse than that. Actually, you're a piece of clay. Scripture says you're clay.
Mm.
You're clay being molded by God. And when you get done being humiliated by this, when you get done being humbled by this, you'll start to be thankful for it.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that's going to bring you peace. Otherwise, the monster of guilt comes back at you. I should have done this. I could have done this. We all do those things. Oh, my God, if I just voted, I vote for the wrong guy. It was my vote, the one that swung the election. Oh, geez, you know. And that's not the road to peace.
Well, I think you're right on about the worrying thing because, you know, I always say this, that I would love to be at that place, Martin, where I do have such a deep, heartfelt conviction that God has it all under control, that I don't need to worry about it. You know, a lot of people talk about planning this and planning that and all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I've never really had an opportunity to make a lot of money where I could save it up. I mean, I pretty much, you know, use up every cent I have every month just to get by. And I think a lot of people are like that. But when you look at something like the Lord's Prayer, it does say, give us this day our daily bread. It's
right.
Like, you know, every single day we have to lean on him, and he'll take care of it. And if bad things happen, it's so we'll learn something, or, you know, we'll be able to look back on it 20 years later and say, you know, probably it did work out for the best.
Yeah, and in a similar vein, Jesus also says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the King James Version. You have enough evils in one day to grapple with. And this is why I don't watch the news. I'm not saying I don't stay informed. I catch bits on the internet, but I don't dive in and catch all the details. I know what's going on in the world generally. Do you remember the show Hee Haw? You remember that show, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
There was this really funny part I always liked. The person would come into the doctor's office and say, doctor, it hurts when I do this. He's moving his arm in a weird way. The doctor hits him over the head and says, then don't do that.
Yeah, a little bit of common sense.
Yeah, just don't do that. People say, I get so upset when I watch the news. Oh, my God, the news is terrible. I get so upset. Well, then don't watch the news. You know, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough evil. There's enough hard things going on in your life where you don't need to sit down motionless in a chair, turn on the TV, and have the world's evils collected and dumped on your shoulders at 6 and 11. That's torture.
Well, they don't call it programming for nothing, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's one thing to be informed, to know generally what's going on. I used to tell people, you know, I went to the grocery store to buy grapes every day, and I'd look at the headlines. Okay, I know what's going on. I'd glance at the newspaper, ad. Okay, I know what's going on. Maybe some people can handle it, okay? But if you're going into the office, the doctor's off saying, doctor, hurts when I do this, then stop doing it.
That's right on.
That's hey, my remedy. Whatever, so whatsoever things are lovely, pure, and of good report, think on these things. And again, the mind is a very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what it focuses on, it's going to translate into your nervous system.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that you'd bring up about dreams and whatnot. We talked about that a little bit last week, too. But, you know, I remember hearing this, and this may be even an urban legend, but, you know, it changes when you're in the situation where people say, you know, if you die in your dream, you die in real life. I don't know if that's true or it's not, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, when you have dreams that you're falling off a skyscraper, you know, when you wake up, you're like, good thing I woke up or I'd be dead.
Yeah, well, so, maybe that's true. Who knows?
Maybe,
it's so
yeah.
Weird. Isn't it weird, though?
Yeah.
You wake up, your heart rate is
oh,
up,
yeah,
you're breathing
totally.
Up, you're sweating, and nothing, you're laying in bed.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening. It's like the Matrix, right?
Mm, yeah,
you're just
exactly.
Laying in bed, nothing is happening, and because of your mind, your body is reacting as if, just as if, mm-hmm. you're falling off that cliff. Same reaction as if you were falling off the cliff.
That's right on.
That's the remarkable powers of the mind.
And a great analogy to what you're talking about here, which is, again, sort of being able to distance yourself from this and to cope with these trials and tribulations in a more effective way.
Well, Jesus did that. He's the perfect example. He didn't withdraw from the problems. He wasn't hiding himself in a monastery trying to shut the world out. He was in it. He was standing among the people. He stood before the Roman Empire. He stood before the Roman Empire, and they could not ruffle his peace. Because he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And it's interesting to know, where were his disciples when they arrested Jesus? Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, you would see my disciples here rallying to rescue me. However, my kingdom is not of this world. My disciples know better. They're smarter than this. They're at home looking in the scriptures to trying to figure out what is happening in this hour. And this hour, Frank, is a parallel hour to the hour Jesus lived. It's a parallel hour. It's not the Roman Empire. It's the world empire. And we're being surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded by everything that threatens to crucify us. And it's the peace of Christ in the eye of the storm that's able to say, you cannot do one thing to me unless God has granted it to you from above. You cannot even be in power unless God puts you in power. And I'm looking at the terrorists. I'm looking at Saddam Hussein, Bin Laden. No one is in power, in any kind of power in this world, unless God has put them there purposely. That is radical teaching.
Yes.
I would be kicked out of almost every church in America for saying that God put Osama bin Laden in power. But
every church in America,
every political rally. And who's at peace? I'm at peace, they're not.
That's right.
I'm at peace, they're not. What? Romans 13:1 says that there is no authority except by God. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm flying by my instrument here, which is the scriptural verse. That all the authorities that are set by God.
Mm-hmm. See, and this is a really intriguing thing because, you know, we look at what's going on and we see this clamp down on civil liberties and all these other things. And a lot of people are out there and they want to be motivated. And they are motivated and they're doing things. And God bless them for it. I think that's great. But in the grand scheme of things, the highest freedom we have is freedom of the soul. It's the freedom to choose these things.
You can't take that away.
That's right.
And,
so you can be a part of their fear. You can be a ridiculous overreaction to their fear, which is what they want. They want people to get guns out and start shooting up saying, I'm taking back the country. They want people to go out there and say, well, we need to go ahead and blow up Congress because all these politicians are evil. They want people to do that. And that's what I'm saying is that we don't need to because it's not our problem. This is not our situation. In the belief of predestination, for me anyway, is that I don't worry about these things.
Right. That's scriptural.
Because, and I didn't even realize that, but that's amazing. I do worry about little things, but the big things, strangely enough, and maybe that's peculiar, but, you know, the little things get to me a lot more than the big things. As far as the big things go, I just realize that, you know, God's going to work through me the way he wants me to. And if I'm in a situation, I'm sure, and I take comfort from this, that he'll guide me at the time.
That's right.
You know?
He won't guide you beforehand.
Right.
He'll guide you at the time.
I
don't know. I don't know if I told you this before, but there was this church sign in my town here. It was around Memorial Day, I think. And it said, because of their sacrifice, we are free to worship. And it was saying that because our boys, our men and women fought for us over the years, we are free to worship. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but I thought at the time that while I appreciate being able to move and speak freely in this country, I would tell our servicemen and women that there's no need to die for something I cannot lose. The essence of the church sign was saying that if a foreign power, if an occupying power came into this country, we would lose our freedom to worship. And that is false, because what they're saying is our worship is outward. Our worship is centered on these churches. And if an occupying force would come and destroy our churches, we'd be in trouble. We can't worship anymore. We wouldn't be free to worship because our church has been torn to the ground. But Frank, you and I know that nobody can take away the peace. The people in the scriptures that would have had every excuse to give up. Paul in the prison. Everything seems lost. Jesus before Pilate. Well, somebody better fight for these people or they're going to lose their freedom to worship. No, because their freedom from worship was not on the exteriors. It was not in the temple in Jerusalem for Jesus. It was not in the temple in Jerusalem for Paul. It was in the spirit. And nobody can take that away.
Very, very well said. And I think that's right on. A lot of people talking about, well, the Bible might be confiscated or it might be...
so what?
That's what I've heard
this for years.
Yeah.
Oh, if they take away, what if they tell us we can't meet anymore? Then don't meet. Don't be stupid about it. If somebody told me, I don't want you to... If you speak out anymore, I'm going to kill your family. Okay, I'm shutting up right now. God's not going to think less of me. Right. We're supposed to be subject to the superior authorities. It also says in Romans 13, another very unpopular message.
Mm-hmm.
The phone lines are probably lighting up on that one, but the scripture says we're supposed to be subject to the superior authorities, even the evil ones.
Yeah.
And so, and the purpose being so that we can live a mild and quiet life. You know, if you want to rabble rouse, Paul is warning you in Romans chapter 13 that the authority is not wearing the sword in vain. You're going to get killed. You're going to get killed if you want to stick your neck out. Well, Martin, Paul stuck his neck out. Jesus stuck his neck out. But none of them ever withstood a civil authority. They were withstanding religious authority.
Which implies that it's not like they were ducking out of the big battle. You know, they weren't refusing to fight the important battle, which is politics. They were focusing on the real battle, important battle, which is, you know, the spiritual side of things.
Exactly, exactly. You hit it right there. I was afraid you were going to say that the politics was the big battle.
No way.
No.
Who cares? They're all a bunch of criminals.
Politics is that people think that's the big battle because it's on the cover of Newsweek and the cover of Time. This must be the big battle. But people are so limited in their viewpoint. They're just looking through the knot hole of this fence and seeing this is the big battle. No, folks. It's not. As Frank said so well, the big battle is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. Everything we see on the earth is being manipulated by higher powers. Earth is enacting wars going on in the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Let me...
That's all I have to say about that.
That's beautiful. I wanted to say this because a lot of us do see this as a situation of resistance being necessary. I'll give you an example. I've never been one to sort of roll over. And you know me, Martin. I'm a scrapper by nature, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's the Irish, the hockey player. I don't know what it is. Just the contrary nature of my very existence. I don't like to do things by rules that have been established upon me. I tend to buck the system. And that's fine. I think a lot of people do. But again, it's kind of hard to contend the two. Because here... in the Bible, it talks about the mark of the beast and that whoever takes that, will basically be screwed. And if you don't take it, you're not going to be able to eat or trade goods and things like that. So, again, you would say, well, I'll refuse it because, then I'll have faith that God will take care of me. But is that not also refusing authority rather than being subject to it? Because, again, when you're looking at this, it's like, how do you know when to resist and how do you know how much to resist?
Right. There's always a good rule of thumb, and that is to do what the authority tells you to do. And you have scriptural recourse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you're going to be standing before God and he's going to say, why did you submit to the authority? I pull out my pocket Bible. You know, it says right here, as if he doesn't know the scriptures in there. We have anyone who does that has scriptural recourse. Now, this is the ideal. It's the ideal to obey the authorities. Not everybody can do it because, again, we're human beings. We're Irish hockey players or whatever, and we're going to get riled up and do the wrong, quote, wrong thing once in a while. God's bigger than that, too. It's called grace. He's going to make it work out no matter what you do. But if you do the hard thing and submit to the authority, you have scriptural recourse because all the authorities have been set by God. And we could go through a couple points from Romans chapter 13 because...
Yeah, we're going to have to.
it's really helpful for anybody who feels that urge to. We got to take control of this situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people would look at it and say, well, here we've got the 2000 election where you've got, you know, Jeb Bush, brother of George W., who basically sort of handed his brother the, you know, Florida and then, of course, the Supreme Court and their different shenanigans. And then you look at the 2004 election and you say, OK, well, the vote was fixed by these electronic voting machines. And I would say right on both counts. Absolutely. Which people would say, well, hold on a second here. That means that Diebold handed Bush the election and put him in power. That means that the political contributors facilitated his reelection. So how can you say it's God? And then I would have to step back and say, well, nothing happens without, you know, that's not subject to the will of God. He's got the whole thing planned out. So it is the way it's supposed to be. And maybe to a certain extent, we can take some of this weight off our shoulders. Martin Zender, stay with us. Folks, we'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. And we are chatting, of course, with our good friend Martin Zender, his website, martinzender.com. Martin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I appreciate it. Gosh, I don't know where you want to go right now, but, you know, anywhere you want to go. But I know one of the things that a lot of people struggle with this whole concept of predestination and evil powers and whatnot. Like, again, if I go ahead and say, well, you know, the election was fixed in 2004 to put Bush in power. So therefore, it wasn't God's doing, it was man's doing. And I would agree. But I think, again, God working through people. I think that if you don't believe in predestination, I think you're actually crippling God. You're saying he is not all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, and omnipresent as well. You're actually saying, well, that means that you, as an individual, have the capacity to throw off the grand design and that Satan has the capacity to win the overall battle. I disagree with those points. But then people would say, well, let me ask you this, smarty pants. Does God create evil then? Because surely he could not do that.
And Isaiah 45, verse 7 says he does the very thing.
Really? That's the one I was looking for.
Isaiah 45:7. I am the Lord God, there is none other. I create good and create evil. I, Lord God, do all these things. People assume that evil is sin, so they think, well, God doesn't sin, he can't create evil. What they don't understand is evil is a generic term. It simply means to break. There's a passage in the scriptures when Israelites wandering through the desert and they complain to Moses, why have you brought us to this evil place? Can a place sin? No, it was just evil in that it was broken down. Joseph talked about a wild beast that was evil. Animals don't sin, but it was an evil beast in that it tore. It had fangs and claws, and it broke down. God continually brings evil against Israel in the scriptures. You have to be blind and deaf and dumb not to see this in the scriptures. How many times sometimes God brings evil. The stumbling block is, again, that evil is sin. But when you see what it is, it's merely breaking something down, then we can see God does this for a purpose. Because, Frank, as you said so eloquently, and you've said it before, the road to revelation goes through the path of breakdown. We see it time and again. We see proud people in the world, and they're miserable, and it takes a disaster. It takes some kind of personal tragedy to bring them to the end of themselves, which is the place where they can now begin to see things rightly. And God does this.
Yeah.
God brings this. And so he does bring evil. And
it's amazing. It's an amazing concept. And I know people struggle with that, but it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to make something better, let's say a block of stone, you're going to have to chisel away all the crap on the outside. So you got to go ahead and be harsh with it. Same thing with, like we talked about, the broken bones, you know, to heal up better. I think God has broken every single one of us, if only just to get our attention.
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah.
And you remind me of a great example. Listen to this. You know, evil is breaking. That's literally all the word means. It's a generic term. It could be used badly. It could be used for a bad purpose, or it could be used for a good purpose. All depends on the person doing it. For instance, a man who breaks into a jeweler's store, he reaches in through the glass, he breaks the glass with a hammer. That's an evil. He's breaking glass, and his design is to steal the jewelry. Now, somebody at a school, there's a fire, they break the glass. They put their fist through the glass to call the fire department. It's the same action. You see what I mean? It's the same evil. Breaking glass is evil. One guy's doing it to steal. Another guy's doing it to save lives. God's motives are always good.
There you go. Outstanding. Martin, of course, that's the end of the first hour. Amazing how fast time flies, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have people, if I know, who want to chat with you. We got books to give away. It's an exciting second hour we've got coming up here, folks, with our interview. Martin Zender, our guest. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us. We'll be right back.